Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I want to talk to you for a few moments on the mindset of faith. You may be seated. Faith is not a spiritual stimulant. Faith is not a frenzy. Great faith is not a fantasy. It's not a fleeting moment. It's not a burst of spiritual adrenaline. But at its apex, faith is a mindset where you literally get to the place where you're walking and living in faith every day. Faith is not a flurry of emotions, but the Bible said in Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance. Faith is a foundation. Faith is something strong and powerful. Faith is something that is there all the time when you get to the place where God wants you to be. And so, ideally, our goal would be that we would have a mindset of faith, that every situation that we deal with it in faith. I've just recently began to recognize in people a tremendous qualification, and I tend to put those people around me. My wife, Becky, is one of the best at it. But it is the people that make the best out of every situation. If the situation is bad, they'll make it a little better. If a situation is good, it'll become even better because that's the way they deal with life. That's a result of a mindset of faith. But how do you get this mindset of faith? You know, sin is such a derogatory thing, and people would like for us to preach more, certain legalists, about sin. And that's the real criticism I hear about modern preaching, is that we don't preach against sin enough. Well, preaching against sin in itself is not a remedy. We do much better talking about the remedy than we do about the sickness. And, of course, the blood of Jesus is the only true cure for the sin nature. But the mindset of faith is the best cure for the act of sin. The nature of sin and the act of sin are two different things. When you get born again, you have a new nature by the blood of Jesus. The sin nature is dealt with, but there might still be acts of sin. The mindset of faith is the greatest remedy against acts of sin. How do we get that mindset of faith that you're talking about, Pastor? That's the reason why I've read the text that I've read. The mindset of faith comes with this. Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they went through a whole litany of people that he was claimed to be. As good as those men were, every one of them were inferior to who Jesus Christ really was. He was not Jeremiah, as great as he was. He was not Isaiah, as great as he was. He was not John the Baptist, as great as he was. He was Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Simon, said, "You didn't discern this through your flesh. The Father has revealed this to you because you no longer have a inferior understanding of who I am, but you know who I am. And when you know who he is, and then you have a relationship with him, it defines who you are. The definition of who you are is what decides whether you will have a mindset of faith or you'll have a mindset of doubt and inferiority. Faith is an amazing thing, but when you get your mindset, when it becomes an apex of your mindset, that I am created in the image of Almighty God, and we realize the Old Testament is true and that The Adamic nature and the sins of an Adam and Eve did tremendous jeopardy to who we were. We also realize that the last man, Adam, came to fix that. And when we realize who he is and the fact that there is no limitation on him or his power, and he has made God the Father accessible, this is the reason why I said come boldly to the throne of grace. It begins to have a tremendous effect on who we are and our understanding of who we are. And when that happens, your faith level begins to not only escalate, it begins to stabilize. It's one thing to hear an exciting song or a great message or to be with great encouragers, and you have a momentary flurry of faith. But when your faith can go up and stabilize, it stabilizes, it stays there. That is your mindset. And so what Jesus was saying to Peter, it doesn't matter who men say that I am, that's not going to affect me. And it won't even affect you as long as you don't buy into what men say about me. As long as you perceive who I am, and you properly discern your relationship. The Bible talks about discerning the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about. He said it will formulate a mindset of faith in you that will make you more than a conqueror. It's not what other people say about you. Don't let others define you. Define yourself in the Lord. Thomas was called doubting, is called Doubting Thomas by people all over the world, but the truth is he manifested great faith, but they labeled him Doubting Thomas. We used to have a man in this church, he's gone to be with heaven now, and every time some preacher would say Doubting Thomas, I'd hear from him the next morning. He'd say, I wish they would quit saying that. My name is Tommy, and I'm not Doubting Tommy. And so he was not letting people define him. My very first day in Bible college, I shall never forget it. There was eight of us in the dorm rooms that I was living in. And by the way, all seven of those are in heaven now, and I'm the only one that's still alive, still remain on this earth. Are you clapping because I'm alive or because they're gone? But one of these was a fine young man. He and I became great friends. His father pastored a great church in Michigan. And so at about 15 years of age, this kid had started preaching. And not only was he a great preacher when we got to Bible school, he was about 18 then, and he was already a great preacher. He was also a great guitar player and a really good singer. And so we sat down in the dormitory. I remember we were sitting on the floor, just sitting around the wall. We didn't have our furniture in yet. And he took it on himself to become the dorm captain. He was just the guy in charge. He was used to doing that because of his role with his father's church. And he went around the room, and we all identified ourselves. And he had identified himself and told what his dad did and the size of their church and the fact that he had been the youth pastor and he was only 15. And he preached, had been preaching for 3 or 4 years now. And he went through all of that. And everybody went through their little deal. And I was the last one. And he said, and you're, I said, I'm Steve Fender, and I'm from Indiana. And he said, what do you do? And that question perplexed me. I didn't know how to answer that. And I finally said, well, I don't do anything. I've just come here to study the Bible because I've just begun to preach. And I never will forget what my friend said. He said, the ministry is evolving now to where you can't be a one-dimensional person. You can't just preach. You've got to have talent. He said, there's so many people out here now. He said, you've got to have musical talent. You've got to have a voice. He said, I'm not being ugly, but he said, my best advice to you would be go back and get involved in your father's business and forget the ministry because you don't have the talent you need to succeed in that. And so he and I walked into a church, the largest church of that faith in St. Louis, Missouri, that following Saturday night. And I was sitting on the back seat, and I'd met the pastor just a couple of times, and there was a huge crowd of people. It was packed with people, about 1,000 people on a Saturday night. And he walked down the aisle, and he said, Steve, he said, the Lord has impressed me that you're supposed to preach here tonight. We had a man scheduled, and he didn't show up. We want you to preach. So he left that good preacher sitting there and let me preach. I don't know how well I did, but I do know I had tremendous response, and I got lots of meetings from that Saturday night preaching. And my friend was there on the bench. And so the next, that whole school year, every Sunday, every weekend, every Friday, I was leaving. I was either driving or flying out of St. Louis, and I preached all over the country, and my friend just sat there with all of his talent. The point is, he wanted to find me, and it had an effect on me. I was a little depressed. I was a little undermined for a few moments. Friend, the devil doesn't use demons to talk to you. He uses family members. He uses friends. He uses brothers and sisters in Christ. The devil is not as dumb as he looks. The devil will use people that have influence in your life to give you a false identity. That's the reason why you must find in the Scripture yourself and your description and your identity, that you can rise up above enemies and well-meaning, misguided friends. I've had so much advice from well-meaning people that was tragic, and God has helped me to ignore most of that. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to be defined in me, not according to your so-called limitation, because it's not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, Simon Peter, it's not flesh and blood. It is the revelation of the Father that identifies you. And he said, and now not only am I being redefined by the Father compared to what men say that I am, he said, I want to redefine you. He said, you are called Simon, which is a reed blown in the wind. That's just like a weed. A little wind can come and blow it down. It's nothing. But he said, from now on, you shall be called Cephas, which is a stone. That stone that he was talking about is 2,000 years old, but somewhere on planet Earth, it's still here. The reed is gone, but the stone remains. The point is that Jesus Christ redefined him with a new identity. And everybody that comes to Christ is redefined by Christ. He said, you are a new creation. You are a new creature. He renames you. He names you not according to your frailties and your insufficiencies and your apparent failures, but he renames you according to his glory working through you. Don't let anybody define you in a negative way. Pastor Brandon's used on a couple of occasions about George Foreman. He did not have the perfect father. George had a tough coming up, but he did say, this helped me, because every time my father came by me, he'd rub my head and say, George Foreman, heavyweight champion of the world. He wasn't a perfect father, but he named George Foreman. I would have said George Foreman, grill master, but he said heavyweight champion of the world. George Foreman is now one of the most wealthy athletes and ex-athletes in the entire world. I read the other day how much he's worth, and it's just hundreds of millions of dollars. But could it be because his father put that on him? Friend, I'm going to tell you, when people come around you and they try to identify you negatively, you need to either correct them or get away from them. I've found in my life that people that say good things about me have a way of encouraging me. And I've developed an ability to literally become deaf to the critics and those that would put me down. We used to have a lady, she moved to Atlanta, Georgia now, but she used to say to me on a regular basis, she'd say, your ministry is so marketable. I love that. That encouraged me every time. I miss so much Brother Leslie, because he was my number one encourager in this church. Anytime I didn't preach good, I didn't go this way, I went down that aisle, because Brother Leslie would grab me by the arm and say something that would make me feel like I was still called to preach. You need to get people like that in your life, because there's always somebody that's going to try to put you down. The Bible said that when Peter and John began to preach, that people said to them, you are ignorant and unlearned. There are people that have not yet got their degree and have not had the advantage of education that are doing so many great things in this world. Education is a great thing, but even more than that is your identity, how you identify yourself. You've got to get up in the morning and say, the Lord is on my side. The Lord has wonderfully made me. I am as mysteriously significant because I'm made in the image of God. I am greater than the devil. I'm greater than the sum of my faults and my failures because I have been endued with power from on high. And the Holy Ghost now lives inside of me. And so I am not only a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. And when somebody tells you different, just look at them like they don't exist. Because the Lord is the one that identifies you. He has wonderfully made you in His image. And just as they said about Peter, you're too ignorant to preach the gospel. Felix said to Paul, you're too educated. He said, much learning has made you mad. The adversary will always find a reason to put you down. If you've got an education, you've got too much. If you don't have much education, you don't have enough. There's always a reason to put you down, but you've got to identify yourself and say, hey, I live in Christ. I move in Christ. What I don't have, God makes up. He makes up the difference. I've been born again. I'm a new creature. When I was in school, they had derogatory nicknames for everybody. I read this, and I find this hard to believe, but I read this from a psychological analysis of President Trump. And they said that President Trump defeated all of his Republican counterparts in the election by giving them nicknames. It actually worked. They accepted those, and people begin to view them that way. Don't let people put you down. They're liars. They are condemners. If Jesus did not come to condemn us, why would we let mere man condemn us? Jesus Christ came to lift us up. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. If he's lifted up, which way does he draw? He draws men up. Satan and Satan's workers pull everybody down, but Jesus lifts everybody up. That's just always a reason why you can't. When Caleb was 40 years old, he was an amazing spy with great faith, and people hated him because he was positive. People will hate you because you have faith and they don't. People will hate you because you're positive and they're negative. I used to have a friend that called me, and he would make fun of me behind my back. You know what he called me? He had a nickname for me, and it was in derision. He called me Sonny in 75 because he said every time I call Fender, he said everything is great in San Antonio. Never has a church problem. Pastor's the best people in the world. It's good and getting better. It's big and getting stronger, and said, they don't even have bad weather there. Every time I talk to him, it's sunny in 75. Well, I realized that he was being a little derisive to me, but his widow texted me on Thanksgiving Day, and she said, I want to thank you for being what you were to my husband because he called me every day. And she said, when he called you, he always called you at his lowest point. It was when somebody had put him down or somebody had hurt his feelings, and he knew if he called you, you'd be positive and lift him up. Friend, you need to get people around you that you can call that will lift you up. And if you can't find somebody like that, encourage yourself. Go to the Word of God. I'm not what they say I am. I'm what God says I am. And God says I'm victorious. God says I'm a winner. God says I'm an overcomer. God said I have overcome everything. God said I'm the righteous of God. God said I'm His son. God said I'm made in His image. God said I'm a victor. God said I am able to accumulate. God said He has given me the gift of acquisition. God said I will cause you to be above and not beneath. God said every weapon that is formed against you will amount to nothing. God said you are awesome. But friend, you've got a lot of people that's in your life that are trying to put you down. When Caleb was 40, they were critical of him. When he turned 85, he said, give me this mountain. I'm as strong as I ever was. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm not paying attention to those people that have criticized me for 45 years. He said, they've fallen by the wayside, and I'm still strong at 85 years of age. And they said, no, you're not. You're too old. He said, no, you used to say I was too young, and now you say I'm too old. There are some old people in this world doing great things for God, and there are some young people doing things for God. Don't let these things that the world calls limitation affect you, because you're not natural. As Creflo said, you need to let God put a little super on that natural, because you are supernatural. You have been saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by Almighty God. The same Spirit that created the universe has recreated you. You don't have a limitation that will work in your life unless you let people identify you that way. Stand up and declare, I am somebody. I am a son of the living God. I am able to heal the sick. I'm able to raise the dead. I can speak blessings into people's lives. I can change entire galaxies. I can create an atmosphere just by walking into it, because there is a canopy of God's blessing on me. Can you give God some praise in this house today? Those that resented Caleb at 40 absolutely hated him at 85. Your critics will not be diminished by the fact that you just keep on getting better. Their hatred will probably become greater for you, because the greater you're becoming, it shines a light on how inferior they are. So they're going to criticize you and work against you, but it doesn't matter, because your enemies are not your assignment. Your enemies are God's assignment. Your assignment is to do good. Your assignment is to declare the good news of the gospel. Your assignment is to help people be better. It's not to deal with your enemies. God said, while you're doing good, I am preparing a table in the presence of those enemies. Look what they said about David. When nobody else would do it, David showed up, and he was just a boy. But the scripture said the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. Friend, I want to tell you, there's always a reason. You're either too old or you're too young. You're too white or you're too black. You're too yellow or you're too brown. You're too short or you're too tall. You're too heavy or you're too skinny. You're too smart or you're too dumb. The devil is a liar. None of those things are limitations, because I am in Christ. And any weapon in Christ is a victorious weapon. The Lord will use you if you'll just rise up in faith and say, praise God, I don't have faith for a moment. I don't have a flurry of faith. I have a mindset of faith. Every day I get up saying the Lord's on my side, something good is going to happen. God's going to introduce me to some good people. God's going to give me an opportunity to minister in a great way. God's going to cause me to reap where I have not even sown. God's going to cause the sunshine to break through the clouds. Why? Because I have a mindset of faith. I always believe the Lord's on my side. What makes that possible? It's believing who you are. People that are rich expect favors. People that are rich expect the best service. People that are rich expect to go to the best places. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that Bill Gates is not as rich as you are, because your father is the creator and you are rich in him. And he has made you in his image. And the Bible said his eyes were running to and fro when he found you. And his eyes froze on you. And now the Bible said, I have a plan for you. And my plan is not to do evil, but to do good. My plan is to cause you to prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not save you to leave you as you were. God saved you to promote you. God saved you to present you. To say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Look where I brought him from. Look how he used to be and look what he is now. Look how broke he used to be and look how blessed he is now. Look how inferior he used to be and how superior he is. God wants to show you off. And you need to get up every morning and say, I've got a mindset of faith. It's not just when I get a bad report. I've got faith in all reports. A good report is going to be better. A bad report's going to be turned to good. God's always with me. He will never abandon me. He said, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I'll never cast you out. God's on your side. God's just wanting you to rise up. He's saying to you today, he's saying, who do you say that I am? Not who do men say that I am. I say that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. All right, if that's who I am, who are you? Well, I'm your son. If I am the Son of the living God, who does that make you? The Bible said he's not ashamed to call you his younger brother. Jesus Christ is saying, you're just like me, made in my image, formed in my likeness, empowered with my strength. Rise up and declare, I am in divine health. I am a Holy Ghost-filled person. I'm an overcomer. I'm a champion. I'm a victor. It doesn't matter what happens today. The Lord's going to turn it to good. When the devil comes against me one way, he'll flee seven, because God's anointing is on me. Praise God. I'm a mountain climber. I am able to accomplish the hardest task. I don't look at adversity as an end. I look at it as a beginning. God's going to make something good out of this, because I know in whom I have believed. I believe Jesus is not Jeremiah or John the Baptist or Isaiah. He is the Son of the living God. He has come to live in my heart, and he's there every day. I get up in the morning and I'm filled with the Spirit. I get up in the morning and the anointing is fresh on me. I get up every morning and his mercy is new in my life. I cannot stop. I must go forward. I cannot die. I will live. I cannot be defeated. I will have victory. For I know in whom I have believed. And because of that, it identifies me in Jesus' name. Give the Lord some big praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord some big praise today. There are people in this building right now that are on the verge of the greatest place you've ever been in your life. And all you need is just a little nudge. Somebody to remind you here who you are. That's what I'm here for today, is to nudge you and to wake up to you your memory of what happened to you when you got saved, and to encourage you to realize that your best days are not behind you, they are before you. That the Lord is making straight your path. He is making the high places come down and the low places come up. God is working on your behalf, but you've got to get up and declare, the Lord has given me this promise. The Lord has given me this land. I will possess it in Jesus' name. 10 spies out of 12 said the giants are too big. We simply cannot possess the land. But 2 said we can, but the other 10 said we were grasshoppers in our own sight. And then we were grasshoppers in their sight. Look at the way it happens. It's first what you believe, and then other people decide after what you believe. Friend, if you will believe strong enough in what God has done in you, that you are wonderfully created in his image, it will stop the mouth of the gainsayer. It's awfully hard to criticize success. People do, but it doesn't work very good. When the Lord has blessed you above and beyond, your enemies just don't know what to say. I've had enemies come by this church and tell me, I didn't think you could do this. I didn't think you could do that. I thought you were making a mistake. I didn't care what they thought, because I didn't get my advice from my enemies. I don't get from my advice from people beneath me. I don't get my advice from failures. I don't accept criticism from those that cannot, will not, and have never. I get my advice from the living God. And my Lord said, dream a big dream. My Lord said, you know who you are. You're not a grasshopper. You're one that I've assigned to take the promised land. It doesn't matter even if 10 out of 12 fail. Praise God. What about you? What about me? I am an achiever. I am an overcomer. I look not at those things behind me, but I press toward that mark. And God said, your best day is coming. December is going to be a great month, but oh, it's going to be nothing compared to 2020. 2020 is going to be the best year of my life. It's going to be the best year of your life. It's going to be the best year of this church. Get ready, for God is doing on a new thing. Just wake up to who you are. He didn't save you to set you in a pew. He saved you to put you on the throne. He saved you to cause you to overcome. He saved you to be a conqueror. You're going to win more souls than you've ever won. You're going to have more influence in your family than you've ever had. You're going to make more money than you've ever made. You're going to have the greatest year of health you've ever had. Hey, the Lord is on your side. Rise up, rise up, rise up. He is able. He said, I will draw you up. And the Lord is here today. And he said, I'm high and lifted up. And so I will draw you up with me. God is here to cause somebody to rise up in faith, to rise up and have a mindset of faith. Not faith 2 or 3 days a year, but faith 365 days a year. Get up every day saying, this is going to be a great day. This is going to be the greatest day of my life. Something's going to happen to me good that's never happened before. If you're in this building right now, and by faith you can grasp what I'm saying, and you realize that God is nudging you, God is shaking you, God is challenging you. He's saying, who am I? And if you can define him properly, you can define yourself properly. You, Jesus, are the wonderful creator. You are the Savior, the mighty God. You are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are able. Nothing is able to keep you down. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. I know who you are, Jesus, and you're my Jesus. That makes me a son of the living God, and the sons of God cannot be defeated. We are overcomers in Jesus' name. If you're here right now, and the devil's been trying to define you as a loser, define you as weak. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Redefine yourself this morning. Shout out, I'm strong. Shout out, I'm healed. Shout out, I'm a victor. Shout out, I'm an overcomer. Shout out, I prosper. Shout out, I win. Praise God. If you need that kind of a miracle in your life, I challenge you to run out of your chair right now. If you've got a mama at home that's got dementia, get the anointing so strong in your life that you can go home and speak a word of faith to your mother, and it will reverse the courses of dementia in her life. If you've got a friend that needs Jesus, let the anointing be so strong when you see them on Monday morning at work. They're going to begin to ask you about Jesus Christ, and you're going to be able to get them saved this week. Praise God. Believe anything is possible. The Lord is with you. Who can be against you? It's not hard for the Lord to save by many. If he can save by few, if he can do a little, he can do much. If he can do small, he can do big. My God is able. My God is able. Cancer is no more difficult than a headache to God. God is able. He's your Savior. He's your baptizer. He's your deliverer. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you need to preach against sin. I am. If you get the mindset of faith, sin will simply not become an option in your life. You will be an overcomer by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's going to be great miracles happen today. There's going to be miracles happen in the 11 o'clock service. There's going to be miracles Wednesday night. There's going to be miracles all through December. There's going to be miracles in 2020. Praise God. I am seeing the Lord do a great thing. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he's drawing me up. He's drawing me up. Praise God. I see his blessing everywhere. I'm not going to let the 6 o'clock news define my faith. My faith is defined by the person of Christ and the word of Almighty God. If you're in this building and you're not saved, you ought to get saved right now. Jesus doesn't want you to lose. He wants you to win. He doesn't want you to be overcome and trod on. He wants you to be an overcomer. And if you're not saved, you have no defense against the nastiness of this world and the things of the devil. But when you get saved, praise God, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, in Jesus' name. If you're